Good morning, good evening, wherever, whenever you may be listening. I'm John Vogel, and welcome into the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place for you to start your podcast. This is episode 2 of a new season, a new setup with this show that I think will help drive the show to see a little bit more success. This has been fun so far, guys. This has been great. We've got a lot of really good supporters, a lot of really good people involved that help out with the show, that do things on the background that don't get a lot of credit. You know, so first off, a little bit of an update on where we are. We are now being heard in 8 different countries and 20 different states on 11 podcast platforms. That's pretty good growth, and it's been pretty quick. You'll also hear the 3 new sponsorships were acquired, as you'll hear in the upcoming podcasts with the plethora of new ads. All right, so lots of good things going on over here. This show's gaining some speed, some steam. It's getting interesting. And today we have a really great guest on, Abe Marie Castillo. She is part-time bro, is kind of her brand, part comedian, part sports analyst media. She does a phenomenal job covering the Minnesota Vikings. And she's been on this show before, back in the Draft Right days. She made an appearance. We talked about women in sports, and we will be continuing that conversation today on top of telling the story about how she got involved with the Vikings Brawl podcast on the Brawl Podcast Network. And in the Minnesota Vikings 0-3 start, obviously, because that's something that needs to be discussed. And so before we really get into that, let's talk a little bit about this college football week, which has been something unlike really anything we've seen in a while. The SEC started. It's week 4 for a lot of people. The ACC playing their 4th, 5th games. That's kind of the range of where we are at in this season, which is fine. I think that it's been a good year so far, despite all the, you know, hampers, all the things that kind of slowed it down with the coronavirus and, you know, conferences shutting down. But all of college football is back. Every conference has declared a schedule that they will be playing. Not so much when and where they will be playing quite yet. I think the MAC and the Mountain West still have to figure that out. I haven't seen a schedule from the Pac-12 yet either. I hadn't been looking for it. But they have all announced intentions to play starting in between late October, early November. And this is a go, guys. College football, legitimately, is back. And this week was really interesting, too, because, you know, the SEC stood against the media very fiercely. Yeah, as well as the ACC. The media pushing for the entire season to be shut down, calling for a college football commissioner, you know, because it didn't make sense. The conferences, it's canceled. Other conferences didn't. You know, there was all kinds of speculation that was floating around. But the SEC and the ACC very directly defied what the media tried to push. The big, you know, especially what was being pushed in the USA Today. I feel like they do that all the time. The USA Today always seems to be going after the SEC, so they just ignore them. But it wasn't just there. It was The Athletic. It was across different platforms. Yahoo Sports was involved with Pete Thamel pushing a lot. It was amazing to see them stand up and take a stand and say, no, we're still collecting information. And the information they collected was apparently accurate, because they started and all 14 teams started this week. There was not a single game that was held back or hampered by coronavirus. And I think that's very impressive. That is a very impressive thing to look at for the SEC. Considering that the ACC has already had to cancel several games due to coronavirus and some of the things, you know, around a few of the programs, like Virginia Tech, for example, just played their first game. The other two had been moved and rescheduled. So this is great. What's going down is great. The action that we got out of the SEC is we got to see what it looks like without really an off-season program. If these teams played, you know, instead of a scrimmage game against each other themselves, what it would look like if they played a game against each other, I do believe. There's a lot of unfamiliarity. Georgia struggled with Arkansas. Arkansas was amazingly competitive with them, especially through the first half. Vanderbilt was very competitive with Texas A&M. Nobody saw that coming. Vanderbilt and Arkansas have been the teams that people have pointed to and said they're not going to win a game this year because they don't play each other. That's how bad it looks for those two programs right now in a full SEC schedule. But that's the thing about the SEC. If you're not showing up ready to play, people will pound you. And LSU found that out with a new Mike Leach offense at Mississippi State. KJ Costello set an NFL record, SEC record, 623 passing yards in a single game. No quarterback had thrown that many, had thrown over 600. So that was a big deal. It took Mike Leach one game to beat the SEC passing record, and he did it against the defending national champions. That's scary. Auburn struggled with Kentucky. It was a very competitive game up until about the fourth quarter. Florida looked like they were on their way to roll to victory. They were phenomenal. That offense just geared. They set, they shifted. It was beautiful. They hit the open road, tire spinning, never looked back. And I think this is why we love the SEC. Because it has always been said, any team in the SEC is competitive any given week. Georgia has put together incredible recruiting classes the last few years, and there is no reason why they should have struggled as much as they did against Arkansas, who has not put together impressive recruiting classes, who has a first-year head coach trying to figure out how to implement his system with the players that he currently has. That's the kicker here. So what the SEC this week, what they did, the competitiveness across the board, a lot of people are pointing to it and saying, I see a lot of overrated teams. Now, I mean, I guess you can come away with that. But this is week one. This is their first game. They didn't have spring. The spring was shut down. Didn't really have much of an off-season program. These teams are figuring themselves out. And guess what? We got football while they're doing it. Any given week, anybody in the SEC can go down if you are not prepared to play. And that's what we saw across the board. And that's what you really need to take away from this. You know, the ACC, they're fun and all. It's just not the same as the SEC. The Big 12, they're fun. Oklahoma goes down this week. Texas almost did too. They're fun. They're put up a lot of points, flashy. But it's just not the same as the SEC. The SEC is a whole other breed of football, and that's what we've discovered this year as well. If you watch football the first couple weeks of the year, you're probably sitting there going, okay, it's nice. It's good. And football's kind of, but it didn't really feel like football was back until the SEC started playing. And that's why. It was a phenomenal week. It was a lot of fun. And I'm really glad that college football is 100% back. Just wait till what it's going to feel like when the Big Ten comes back. Because the Big Ten, the Big Ten's a better conference than the ACC. Everybody just admit it. That's for sure. So this is great. This is good for football. This is good for college sports. Everything is moving forward. What a week it was. What a week. Well, with that, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, A. Marie Castillo will be on the show. We will be talking Minnesota Vikings, how she got on the Brawl Network with John B., formerly Mike Zimmer's ears, and former Minnesota Vikings linebacker Aaron Henderson. And then we'll be having a conversation about winning in sports. And it's a conversation I do believe that needs to be had. Next on the John Vogel Show.
Welcome back into the John Vogel Show, episode 2, new season, new format. Today, our esteemed guest, Amory Castillo, part-time bro, is on the show, now with the Vikings Brawl podcast with JB and Aaron Henderson. How are you doing today?
I am doing so good. I'm so glad to be back. I feel like, well, it's during the pandemic, which I guess there's still a pandemic going on, but when we were like in the real quarantine, I was on your podcast and it was a lot of fun. So I, even though it's a tough football season for me so far, I'm happy to be back on your pod.
It's been a surprising season right. for the Vikings so far, and we're definitely going to talk about that a little bit. But first off, you are on the Vikings Brawl. That's changed since last time we talked.
Yes, it's and really, really cool.
It is really cool. You guys have a really good show started.
Thank you.
I do see that the chemistry is starting to come together. We were talking about this a little bit before we came on.
Right.
And I'm really excited for where that's going to go. I think that you have a perfect blend of personalities. And I think that's what's going to make it mesh, right? You've got, you know, JB, who's a fan. And you're more of a fan, too. But, you've got a little bit of a different perspective than right. he does normally. And then Aaron is, he's been on the team. He played for them, you know. So
yeah, he played for interesting time for the Vikings. So I got a really good story to share with you. So it's been good. Yeah, we are very different. You know, JB is such a cute, like, Disney square, good, like, innocent dad. And then, like, I'm the wild child. And then Aaron, of course. So it's like, I love the dynamic and I can't wait for us to keep going. Even, you know, like I was like, oh, this is so funny. Like I got into media. The year I get really into media, the Vikings are having a tough season. Mm-hmm. But I guess it makes it more interesting because I'm always trying to be, you know, optimistic. So I guess like people don't, misery loves company. So maybe I'll help our numbers. So thanks, Vikes.
Well, hey, so let's talk about a little bit how you got this opportunity.
Great.
To get on the Brawl Network with those people.
Yeah.
And get that show going.
Yeah. So in general, I can't remember if we talked about this last time. Forgive me for the craziness of 2020. But this year has been a big transition with me getting into the sports media world. And I've been provided with a lot of opportunities. And JB and I did have Heart and Skull with Jim Jacks Media. And everything is great with them. It's just we weren't seeing we weren't on the same page anymore. But we weren't. It wasn't, we were going to still continue to do it. It just didn't feel right. And, mm-hmm. you know, that happens. Like, nothing bad happened. Nothing just wasn't the same page. And Titletown Brawl, which is the Green Bay Packers, because you know, like, the sports media world, like how you said you write for similar things that JB does. There are small circles. And Titletown Brawl has had JB and I on for roundtables for the NFC North. And they were looking for a new group of Vikings Brawl. And so the host, Jay, of the Packers Brawl was like, I got these two great Viking people that I think would be perfect for the Brawl Network. And they hit me up and they were like, do you want to do a podcast with Aaron Henderson? And I was like, are you just yes? I was like, what? Yeah, I do. And then I learned more about the Brawl Network and I really love their vision. And I think that my personality and my overall goals are very compatible with them. So I'm very excited.
That's
and
awesome.
It's only been like a month, but it's awesome so far. So,
and just to get to work with a former NFL player, someone with that experience, like Aaron Henderson was playing for the Vikings when I was collecting football cards. Mm-hmm. So he was like in every set that they were making, the score would make every year, 2008, 2007. I remember pulling him out of
Patrick. Yeah, 2008. Card. Yeah.
Yep.
And you guys play with his brother, and I love their dynamic, and it was just, it's, like, so cool, because I've been such a fan my whole life, and now that I'm working in this world, it's just, like, so much fun. But my favorite thing about Aaron is when we first were getting to know each other, he admitted that he was, like, a Packers fan, And so we're like, oh, great. What, like, growing up, like, Brett Favre was his hero. And then, so think about it. The second year he was on the Vikings, we get Brett Favre. Could you imagine just, like, playing with your hero? That's how I feel right now. I'm like, I get to, like, be with the Vikings career-wise. This is amazing. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. He's a really cool guy. And he's teaching me so much about the game. Like, my guy friends, like, you all do a great job. Give me insight. Teach me a lot, but he has such a different perspective that I'm just like, I value this and I just like cherish. It's so cool learning someone who's actually played in the NFL. And, you know, so it's going to be good.
He brings that dynamic, that difference.
Right.
Because I don't have experience playing college, let alone NFL.
Right.
So that whole, there's so much that I will never be able to understand because I haven't experienced it. And as for a lot of guys in media, you know, and there's a lot of guys that don't want to, you know, a lot of people in general, I don't think, that want to recognize that players do bring a special perspective. And that's awesome that you're getting that.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
So the Vikings are obviously 0-3, like you said.
Oof, this has been a long season so far.
So maybe you're kind of glad that coronavirus did happen and you're not following them everywhere as you were originally planning.
I know. I did go to week one and week two, and now I'm quarantining again. And then I'll be in November, I'll be traveling again. We're going to see how everything goes, though. I mean, I have to play it week by week.
Yeah, obviously.
But yes, funny that you said that. God. Yeah, so I feel like preseason is going to be over next week and we're going to get a W, but we're warmed up now. No, but it's I think you said it perfectly. It's just been surprising. I'm not saying we are a Super Bowl bound team. I just didn't expect us to come out looking this flat. And I know injuries came into consideration, but just like no heart, no leadership. That was what I was more mad about. I can stand losing, but with the no heart, no leadership, no, just looked flat the first two games. I was like, what's going on here? So, that's what I was
thinking. What do you think has been going on? Is it the quarterback situation? Because I've been seeing the photoshopped images of Trevor Lawrence in a Vikings jersey.
God, we're the most bipolar fan base. And just like, because you don't know what Kirk you're going to get week to week. This is the thing about the Vikings. We haven't held an offensive coordinator for more than a year. I mean, starting like with Norv Turner a couple years ago, he left in the middle of the season. I mean, they just, we can't keep him. I can't keep him like I can keep a man. You know what I mean? You just can't keep an offensive coordinator. So when Gary Kubiak came in, I was so excited because you're excited when someone with that kind of resume comes to your franchise and like, you're like, all right, you got Zim, defensive mind. And then you got this amazing coach who has won multiple Super Bowls and who have turned underrated players into superstars, like, you know what I mean? So I was like, yes, but I think it's coming down to coaching, not our team, and leadership and coaching. Until yesterday against the Titans, I did not understand our game plan at all. Play calling has made no sense. I know we're injured, our offensive line blows. Well, I don't know, we're just injured, but anyways, it's definitely leadership and it's coaching, because you can't have the weapons we have and be that bad the first two games. It's unreal. I know this is a weird year, no preseason, but still, besides that, I knew it'd be messy, but not this messy.
So outside of the Colts game last week, the Vikings have been competitive. They've moved the ball.
Right.
What's going on the defensive side? Like, what's been the issue over there?
Like I said, flat, and I was like, I know Harrison Smith. I was like, where is he? Where, besides Eric Kendricks, I'm like, where is everybody? Like, hello? And you don't have any fans in the stadium, so I know you can hear each other. So, but I knew going into the season that our secondary was going to be weak, and when you were playing a Hall of Fame who he looks in, like, stupid form right now, Aaron Rodgers, I mean,
yes. Oof.
Give him an empty stadium with a very, very young, weak secondary. It was like Christmas for him. So, but no pass rush, couldn't. And then it wasn't even about Aaron Jones that game. We just like couldn't. Our secondary just blew. So, but I am excited. We're young and we drafted two good guys, but they're hurt right now. So, who knows what's gonna happen? But it's definitely our secondary and our pass rush. And I don't know if Danielle Hunter is worth bringing back. I don't want to risk an injury, but we kind of showed light yesterday, so I think we're going to be fine. I don't think we're going to – we're not going to play – I don't think we're going to make playoffs, but I think we're going to be fine. I don't think we're going to go 0-16.
Right. Okay, so has Aaron talked about on the show or anything?
Yeah.
You heard about this, about the lack of the offseason program and how
right.
Is that part of the effect here with the Vikings perhaps?
Yes, I think it's a huge factor because you don't know how anyone's going to play, mm-hmm. Especially with a lot of young players and the injuries. Woof, when you're not used to practicing and then you go straight into game mode, I mean, think about all around the league, heartbreaking injuries all around. That's the biggest thing. And his biggest thing, though, was he even sent out a message. He was like, I'm going to probably get in trouble for this. I was like, oh, this is going to be good. He sent out a message to Eric Kendricks as like this, you know, fellow same positions. He's like, yo, dude, you got to step it up. Like he'll send out messages to players and he'll be real. He's like, what are you doing? You need, it's like, it's time to step it up. So we need some damn leadership on that team. Kirk's not going to do it for us, which is sad. So I don't know. I want to believe in Kirk so bad. It's so hard. I have supported him. I'm like, Kirk, you got it. Show us some leadership, buddy. He's so wishy-washy.
And that was his biggest complaint, I remember, in Washington when you played there, was
right.
Just the fact that he was never able to seem to lead that team.
Right, and I'm like, because I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I'm just like, I know everyone wants, like, this mobile Lamar Jackson now, but, like, that's not going to happen. But he could still be a great quarterback, comfortable in the pocket. It's just like I can always tell at the beginning of the game how confident he's going to be. I'm like, okay, what Kirk are we getting? I want the if I die, I die Kirk in. You know what I mean? I want the divisional wild card.
I think he's in that tier with, you know, people like Jared Goff, where they can be very good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They just struggle when you get off the script. And I think that's
right.
The biggest thing that pops off at me is keeping him – you know, focused on not just the game, but on the script and what's going on and what he needs, like the reads and everything else. As soon as he starts to have to create, he struggles.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what's going on here? I want you to, like, scramble and rush with a purpose, not out of fear. You know what I mean? I'm like, can we rush out of fear, not out of fear, out of, like, purpose? I think we'll be fine, though. I think, you know, it's rumor to be had that we're going to get Aaron Rodgers here in the next 2 years, which will be hilarious because that seems about right on track.
All right. So one more question about the Vikings.
Yeah.
If there's one bright spot that you can point to on this team right now, what is that?
Our running game. Gosh, what a concept yesterday, Kubiak, to establish and use one of the best running backs in the league. And then who does that open up? Your amazing wide receiver core. That guy we've been looking to use, that guy Justin Jefferson. I mean, we used our tight ends yesterday. I was like, wow, this is insane. I don't know where they have. But our bright spot and the Vikings for the last 10 years with AP and stuff, running game works and gets us far. We're a run-heavy offense, establish the run, and then you have all these beautiful weapons that you can use. I don't want to see a play action until Delvin has multiple carries. For the love of God, if we ever start a game off like we did the Colts, 3 play actions? I was like, what are we doing? Like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, so bright spots. Our running game. Deep running game, too. Love all of our backs and our fullback.
So we're going to take a break real quick. And then when we come back, we're going to get into some of the women in sports. This has been a very hot topic here the last couple of weeks, and I think we can have a really good conversation about that.
Me too.
So when we come back on the John Vogel Show, we'll be talking about that. Welcome back into the John Vogel Show. Hey, Marie, falling into despair over her Vikings, so we're going to change the topic. So women in the sports industry has been a hot topic here the last couple of weeks.
Right.
I guess – over the course of the entire coronavirus pandemic, this has been something that's come to light. So I think a lot of really great people in this industry have brought forth some of that. But Jason Whitlock, formerly of Fox Sports, gets on Outkick. He writes a couple articles last week that appear to be targeting women in the sports industry. So I think everybody knows. I don't really have to summarize that at this point. So
correct.
I think the best way to start this conversation is what did you think as a woman? What did you think of those articles? Did you read them? Did you kind of go over the highlights and what?
I didn't read them. I just heard everybody's responses towards them. But if you want to give me the highlights, I'm happy. I love talking about this. I think it's important. I think it's good to get perspective. And, you know, I've dealt with this being in a stand-up comedy and sports media. So, I mean, women don't know sports and women aren't funny. If anyone doesn't know that, I just want to let them know now here on the John Vogel Show. I don't know why they pay me, but, you know.
All right. That's so funny. So
I haven't been the biggest Whitlock fan in general, but I'm not you told me this when I first came on your show. I'm not a hater. Like, I'm not a man hater either. I have nothing to prove. My only competition is myself. I'm not going to try to prove to a man anything. So,
and see, I feel like that's the right attitude to have. And I think that's what he was trying to talk about in the first article when he spoke about Maria Taylor. Right. Maria Taylor is one of the best sideline hosts in the business. And really, she's a great host on her own, too. Taking over the NBA countdown the way that she has been phenomenal up to this point. And he acknowledged that. In the article, his main point that he was trying to push, though, was there's almost like women, a lot of women in the industry do this, and they feed into that criticism that they get on social media,
right?
And they start acting like that's all sports fans. And he was basically saying, Maria, don't make the same mistake that these other people did, like Jemele Hill, and he named a couple others. So that was the main premise of the article. I read through it and I was like, I think this is fair, because I saw the reaction too. And I was like, oh, what did he say now? You know, so.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with what he's saying. And I see it on social media often, you know, not with you. You're not the type of person that gets on there and retweet a someone who is just hating on you and say, right. No, you suck, this and that, whatever they all say. But I see it a lot. And right. This is where my opinion, I think, is controversial. So. Where is the line between, I think this is the question I'm trying to get at, where is the line between doing your job and taking the criticism and being sexist?
I think they're two different things. I just, you know, I wonder what, I feel like he probably just, I didn't know I don't know his real intention behind it. I thought also he was mentioning how women... But maybe I just heard this as like a response. I'm not saying he said this about like women get hired because they're attractive. I think
that was in the next article.
Okay. I was like, which article are we talking about? But I do think just being attractive, whether you're a man or female, gets you farther in life in general. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. But going back to what you said, this is where I have a hard time with my whole brand Part-Time Bro, because, you know, women think because I'm in sports, because I'm like one of the guys, that I'm not like about girl power and female empowerment, which is not, I don't like how they deal with it, because they're negative, they don't take criticism, and they're defensive, and they hate. I don't like hate, I don't like negativity, and they just hate on men. And I'm like, I've never felt that way. I've never been like, I don't know. I refuse to, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I haven't been defensive when a guy comes up to me at a bar and says, oh, you're a Vikings fan? Name three defensive players. I'm like, I can name all 53 active on our roster right now, dude. But I don't get defensive about that anymore. I just find it funny, but it took me a while to get there. But I think I'm very different than most women, because I don't know. I've been trying to figure this out, because I thought you'd ask me questions like this, but this is what I want to say to them. This is how we're taking steps back when you do not take criticism, because you getting defensive, that sounds like you're guilty, or you're like, they could have handled it completely different than how the women are probably handling it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's kind of what I
disagree
see.
With him, be like, you know what? I disagree with you. But it's hard, because I don't know. I just would have handled it completely different.
So it's kind of, I struggled with this in a different sense, obviously, because I'm not a female. But like, finding that fine line between being, you know, a personality, an analyst, a media, some member of the media,
right,
and falling into that victimhood. Because, you know, I ran into a lot of trouble when I expressed some political beliefs a few months ago. And social media, it's hard because there's a lot of people and they say things about you that you know aren't true. And people who know you, they know it's not true. And you want to defend yourself, but at the same time, there is a fine line. And I crossed that. I went into victimhood for a while and had to kind of reel back and be like, hey, whoa, okay, I got to be better about this. I got to be stronger and just ignore it and move on. You know, because there's always going to be people that disagree with me.
But, right.
You know, so I feel like there's a lot of women in this industry right now that are trying to make it, and their brand is basically hating on anyone who criticizes them.
Right. Okay, so I am in stand-up comedy, so I can kind of make fun of that sometimes and be, you know, I try to turn dark.
You don't get on there and I'm
no,
not
no, no,
any
no.
names. I can think of a few, like, just Twitter accounts that I see all the time.
Right. I can tell you this is, this was a huge, huge growing lesson for me in the last year in stand-up and sports media, is I used to feel like, okay, I want to make it in sports media. I'm going to be a hot girl who talks about football. I was trying to, like, force myself to, like, I was trying too hard almost. I call it thirsty. I don't know if you'd see my jokes about thirst traps and stuff, but, This is my advice to men and women. You got to focus on what you're good at, like, and focus on your strengths and own who you are. And if you owned who you are and loved what you do and focused on your strengths, you wouldn't care what Whitlock said. You know what I mean? Like, I've kind of accepted, like, I want to be a sports personality. I want to be on TV. I want to be on radio. I want to talk about football and make people laugh. That's all I want to do in my life, right? I will admit, I am not the expert of all experts. I work with a bunch of you guys now. It's unreal, this information you guys can retain. Believe me, I am trying. But I don't get defensive, and I'm not fake. If I don't know something about football, I ask, because I want to learn and get better. Like, I don't understand why you don't have to be a know-it-all. Everyone pump the brakes. I think it's good if a guy wants to give you advice. And criticize, not criticize, but you know what I mean? Constructive criticism. I think it's important.
Yes.
I think it's so important. You're only going to get better. You're only going to get better. And you create your own reality. You decide. Jason Whitlock does not decide your career. You decide your career. So don't blame him. Don't be a victim. Just keep going. Action speaks louder than words.
There's a lot, you know, to it, I think.
Right.
I think this is a really great point that you bring up, is just own it and enjoy it and have fun and
right.
do it. And
right.
don't focus on, I guess the way that you kind of have to look at it is, every bit of criticism that you get, you have the choice to look at it constructively or look at it and implode,
right.
you know? And I feel like that there's a lot of people, there's a lot of women that they take to that criticism and they go straight to victimhood.
And I don't understand why, because it's obviously, it is hard being a woman. I do think there's a little more pressure, but if you put yourself in the public eye, just like being an athlete, you gotta, can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen, you know what I mean? And just enjoy
right.
the ride. I mean, if you're gonna let, I mean, you gotta toughen up. Everyone's got to toughen up.
You know, I'm not trying to hate on women.
No, I know. I'm really excited to actually talk to someone about this, because, you know, a couple of years ago, and this is just like the perfect example. Do you know the comedian Louis C.K.? I think we briefly talked about this actually last time I was on your show. It doesn't matter. He got in trouble for Me Too. And then I was one of the first females that performed with him after he came back from his Me Too thing. And the Hollywood Reporter did an interview on me, and they're like, they're asking me the same questions, like, about women and all this crap. And I was like, listen, this is about doing my job. I went to a comedy club, I did my job, and I always hope for the best for people. Like, everyone wants him to be canceled and cancel his life, but he's a dad, he has a career. I believe everyone has second chances. Like, I hope that he could take what he did, learn from it, and move forward. But of course, every woman feminist out there spun it and attacked me on Twitter and said, I don't support women. I don't whatever. I was like, I never said that at all. I'm a huge girl power, female empowerment thing. That's what I'm trying to do with my brand, though, because I know there's a lot of women out there like me. We're just, you know, I got to get us all together for a group meeting.
You really should. And maybe even another podcast on the Brawl Network. You never know.
Right. Right. Well, that's how Part-Time Bro came along, because I was like, I'm just a fan. I love sports. I love life. And I'm not trying to prove anything. I don't know. And I'm really excited to keep learning about the game, especially I'm connected with all you wonderful people in media. I live for sports. I'm like, this is so awesome. Obviously, as an athlete, I played basketball, but that's the only game I'm an expert on. Like, football is a whole different animal that I'm learning, but I'm so excited about it. But I'm not going to go hate on you or men or anyone because I don't understand why stupid Xavier Rhodes didn't work in our scheme, but he's working on the Colts scheme, even though he played the Jets yesterday, so everyone needs to calm the frick down. Sorry, I was bottling that up all day. but you know what I mean. So just like anyone, if you're happy and you're focusing on what you love and you're no one should get defensive, men and women. Guys, shake it off, man. Shake it off. And it's not about you. It's them. Those people are feeling the need to projection. I mean, this is like 101. Like, stop it. So I just saw Casey Smith's reaction to it, and I really liked her reaction.
Yes, I saw that too a little bit, and you know,
the only thing I disagree with is I don't know why it's a crime to be like good looking. I'm like, okay, well, I think so
this is, I'll summarize the other article for you real quick, because the next one was on Katie Nolan.
Okay.
And he was specifically talking about how she had made her into her career in this industry. She's the highest paid female
she is
in the sports industry. Yes.
Wow, I didn't know she was the highest paid.
That's what he was criticizing, is, well, why is she the highest? If she is so against, you know, white privilege and these other things that have been a big thing, why is she's the epitome of white privilege? Because Maria Taylor is a much better host than she is.
Right. Well, right. Okay, so.
And so my opinion on this, basically, Marie, was I could take somebody like you and put you doing your own type of show into Katie Nolan's slot. And I think you would be a way better show. Your ratings would be way better.
Thank you.
And that's,
but it's all my mentality and who I am and how you carry yourself. Right. That's what I'm saying.
And
so,
that's the thing, is Katie Nolan plays to a certain niche that is just not very popular. Yet she gets all the recognition and praise. And that's what he criticized in the article.
Right. Okay. So, and it's so easy to take that all out of context. I'm not saying you're right. I'm not saying she's right. I'm not saying he's right. My point is everyone's got to compete with themselves and worry about themselves. Everyone's so worried about everyone else. Like, if everyone would just put all that energy, like all these women playing victims or criticizing men or hating on men, I was like, if you took all that energy you're putting out to hating a dude for questioning your sports knowledge, when you could put in all that energy in your sports podcast, it'd be different. And it goes a long way. It took me a long time. Don't worry. I've grown up a lot this year. So, like,
I mean, we all have. This year's been insane.
Yeah. I'm a work in progress. I work on myself every day, and my only competition is myself. My competition ain't Katie Nolan. Mine's not Casey Smith. Mine's not Maria Taylor. It's Amory Castillo. And I mean, of course, I'm competitive, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to be the biggest woman in sports. Like, I constantly – it's my mantra, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm happy for them. You got to be happy for other people. So I'm sad that it's continuing to be handled in this manner, though, because we're just taking steps back then as females.
I feel like
– because think about when men – think about it. Think about when a man gets in an argument. It's not a victim. You just fight it out, and then you – that's it. And women don't support women either. That's what I'm trying to do with my brand, too. Women need to start supporting women. Women are catty towards each other. And I just
stop with the cat fights.
You know, just like, I want to create a culture where everyone's their own competition. And just like, you support one another. That's what dudes do. And if you don't like each other, you don't like each other. That's it. You don't have to get along with everyone. Just respect everybody.
Fair point. Hey, we're about out of time on this episode. Everything's good. Hey, Hey, thank you for taking the time to come on the show today.
Thanks, John. This is always so fun. Anytime you need me, when the Vikings are 4-12 at the end of the season.
Ring you up and say, hey, remember when you said you guys were going to be okay?
We were 4-12.
Take it easy. Good luck with you on the Brawl Network.
Thank you.
Wonderful guys. And we'll definitely have you on at some point.
Great. Thanks, John.
We're going to wrap this show up. But before we finish this up, I want to get into a couple points before we leave. All right, so the first thing that I want to say is following this conversation, I've never worked with Katie Nolan. I don't know her. I've never seen her work at her work ethic. And I do know that there's a lot of people that do work with her that say she is the hardest working person that they've ever been around. And I think that's fine. I think that's good. All right, and I'm definitely not trying to say that she doesn't work hard. I'm just saying that when I see her come on the screen, I don't think talent. I don't think it's not her show and what she does with her late night show on ESPN. It's not something that I find entertaining. It does not play to my niche because she's sort of awkward, kind of just is there. She'll say things. She's obviously reading a script. I mean, most of them are, but still. I don't find her show enjoyable. And I think that people like A. Marie, you know, and other females in the industry, if given the opportunity to have that slot, would do a phenomenally better job and would have a much bigger following, a much bigger, you know, much better ratings. Because they would just make a better show. And so that's not to say that she doesn't work hard. There's something that I was told, you know, in when I started getting into working by someone that was very wise. They said, work harder, work smarter, not harder. And what they mean by that is you can work very hard, but repeatedly beat your head on a wall, you know, and that's kind of what I'm getting at. You can work very hard, but not smart. You've got to find the different things that work for you to save you time. That's part of time management, is working smarter and finding those things that, you know, help you much better so that you don't have to work as hard. Or you can still work as hard and just put more effort into it because you're smarter about it. So the other thing I want to say is I think everyone who knows me, everyone who listens to this show regularly, you all know, I think that women need to be more involved in the sports industry. I think that they do a lot of really good things. They bring a whole other element, you know, to a show, a team, a broadcast, whatever you want to look at across the sports, you know, industry that a man cannot bring. You know, and I think that there's pros and cons on both sides, obviously. But a lot of times there is a calling, you know, to have more of a female presence. And so I want women involved in the sports industry. And this is not trying to attack anybody. I think that what A. Marie and I were talking about, and what's really important, the biggest message that you get, that you should take away from this, is don't worry about the critics. Okay? Don't worry about the people in the background that don't know you who say things. This is something that I've had to learn too. Don't worry about the people that are going to say things. They're going to try to slander you. They're going to do this and that, because your work and your efforts and your results that you provide will speak in much louder volumes than anything anyone can say about you, especially if they don't know you. Because here's the thing, what I have to say about Katie Nolan, for 99.999999% of the population, it's going to fall on deaf ears. And I'm okay with that. What I say about Maria Taylor is going to fall upon 99.999999% of deaf ears. And it's because I know who cares what I have to say about them. And that's how you should look at everyone who says that. I don't know them, never met them, never worked with them. And anyone who has to say anything about you, that's the attitude that you should approach with, especially if they don't know you. That's how you're going to make a bigger splash in this industry, and I hope everyone can work can learn that. To swallow their pride every once in a while and just ignore it. Regardless, that's about all that we have for this show today. Thank you for tuning into the John Vogel Show. Check us out on johnvogel.football. On Twitter, my handle, at John D.A. Vogel. And, of course, at Show Vogel. Make sure to follow us. Make sure to subscribe. Get involved. Leave a review. Tell me about how you feel. And let's take this show to a new level, to new heights. The next episode that we have coming up will be on Friday. We will be talking with Zach Moore. Zach Moore is the author of Caponomics, and it should be a very good and very riveting conversation that we should be having on this show today, or a few days from now. So make sure you tune in for that. Make sure you hit subscribe to keep up with that and more of the guests that will be cycling in and out of this show. Have a great rest of your day. God love you all. And may peace be upon you.